Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Through the Apex. I'm Sean Rosa, joined here by Mark Anthony Murray. We're going to get to the show in just a minute, but before we do that, I just want to take the time to remind you to go to wherever you are listening to your podcast and make sure you rate and review. It really is a super, super helpful tool for us to hear your feedback. It makes us better, and it makes the show better for you. So make sure you go ahead and rate, review on wherever you're listening to your podcast. And of course, don't forget to follow us at Through the _ Apex on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thank you. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the premier automotive and lifestyle podcast with Mark Anthony Murray and Sean Rosa.
This is Through the Apex.
What's going on, everybody? You're now tuned in to the best automotive podcast in the DMV area.
Yes.
My name is Mark Anthony Murray, and I'm joined here with the infamous
Sean Rosa.
Did that used to be your handle? The infamous? Like, I feel like infamous used to be associated with you before.
It's actually, you're right, because the first time you took photos of me for my first shoot, I was going by DJ Infamous or Sean Infamous. Yeah. That was actually when you and I first kind of like met for the first time, I think. Yeah.
In Annapolis. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
I also meant to say, I was watching on the news the other day. It looked like the strip mall area right by the area where you DJ. There was like a sexual assault allegation from a politician, a lobbyist, and
oh my god,
I looked it over there. I forgot the name of it, but I was like, man, Sean was probably there when this went down. And it's funny because they have surveillance footage of it, and it's literally just like when a guy goes up to a lady say something to her and places his hand like on her shoulder or something like that, and she blew it out of, I don't know.
Oh shoot,
don't even remember her name. I was in the barbershop when I was watching it. I was like, yo, Sean is right there. He was probably there. He could have been a witness.
I could have witnessed. Helped her.
Got some money.
No, it wasn't me. it wasn't me, and I wasn't a witness. So let's get that off the table right away.
Right, exactly.
If you saw me in the background with my turntable case, I mean, I could have been there. I don't know, but that doesn't ring a bell. I hope she's okay. It sucks.
Yeah, I know.
What a way to start the show with such heavy news. Not even car news. Like,
it's like I just started it because I was like, infamous Annapolis.
Jeez.
Allegations.
That's some Fox 5 right there. That's what that is.
Exactly.
In today's news, rape allegations.
Mark Anthony won't be opening the show ever again.
Oh, man. Welcome to another episode of Through the Apex. We are here for episode 8, slowly encroaching on that episode 10.
Yes.
Very exciting.
AKA 11.
Right, AKA 11. God, we really screwed up with that numbering system, didn't we?
I like it, though.
I do, too.
It works.
Oh, man. How's it going? How's your week been?
It's been really long this week. I don't think I've ever looked forward to a weekend for this long in a while,
yeah.
Actually, and it's actually St. Patrick's Day.
It is. Right? It is.
And None of us are wearing green.
Not
wearing any green. It's okay. I'm not doing any bar crawls. It's funny because I can recall, I guess, back in early 20s and mid 20s and stuff like that, where Cinco de Mayo, Patrick's Day, literally all of these events were just an excuse to go bar crawling.
And just get sloshed, man.
Yo, everybody, a buddy, a gentleman at my gym, he actually had left to go to New Orleans from Thursday through this whole weekend. Because they're going to be bar crawling and stuff like that.
Isn't like Mardi Gras over there too right around now?
It might be. I guess. Because he said he's going to Charleston. He said normally goes to New Orleans. But he was like, yeah, you know, we were exchanging our little stories and stuff like that, and I brought up how when I went out, JC and I, actually, with our buddy Albert, probably like 4 or 5 years ago, we all took the metro there, and I had like my tall St. Patrick's Day hat and stuff like that.
The green hat.
Yeah, and it was like deep in Virginia. And it's hilarious because, of course, these things start maybe around noon or early afternoon, so it's like we're walking around broad day. By 3 p.m., everybody's up.
Yeah,
like everybody's just
destroyed.
They're just done, and you're walking around. Everybody's your BFF. You're just walking around the streets, and it's like people. And I have video of it, incoherent AF. I'm looking back on it, and I'm like, who is this guy recording? Oh, that was me. You know, me and got separated from Albert and everything within the first 30 minutes. I'm not really an impatient person, but I just don't like people.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm with
it,
man.
I would like a plague to come along and just to wipe out all the non-drivers and stuff, which actually seems to segue into what I with part of your greetings with you and your bad driver.
Oh man! So yesterday we went to me and my fiance Eileen. We went to Richmond to see Tiffany Haddish, really great comedian, awesome show. But we had some crazy experiences on the way there, but more so on the way back. The way there was, we caught some traffic, no big deal. I understand right. that. I know how to act in traffic. I may not like it, but guess what? There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can't, I'm not going to ride your bumper because guess what? I might, while I might not have the best vision, I can see, I can see that there are
black blur approaching high speed.
I can see that there are a number of cars.
It's
in
a
front
bird.
Of
it's
you.
A plane.
It's cool. I can see there's nowhere for you to go. So I'm not going to ride your ass.
Exactly.
But however, at night we were on our way back home. And then what happened was there was a guy that was, I wasn't in the far left lane. I was in the middle lane.
This is the highway, right?
This is the highway. This is on 95 coming north.
On 95 north.
I'm on 95 north. I'm in the middle lane. Speed limit is 70. I'm going 70. We're a little bit more south from home, and everyone knows that when you're in Virginia and under Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, you don't speed.
No.
Because the cops are ruthless.
And in Virginia, I believe speeding isn't just a, it's also categorized as a reckless endangerment.
Right.
I think.
So I wasn't speeding. I was going 70. The cat next to me in the far left lane was probably going 75, 80, but my nose was to his tail. Mm-hmm. That's, we were
plus
traveling.
You weren't in the leftmost lane anyway.
Right. I'm not going to go that extra 5 or 10, right?
Right.
This 02 silver Honda Accord, yes, I know.
Oh, God. Hopefully it was a V6 at least.
I don't know. But this dude does, he comes up. I have a hatch, and you probably can relate to this because you also have a flat back on your on your Mini. So yeah. When a car comes close to you and starts riding you, you can truly tell how close they are.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If I can't see your...
Headlights, or
you are super close.
If the hood has disappeared and you just see the windshield.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this guy does that. So what I do, I'm not going to lie. You ride my crap, I'm going to let off the gas. I'm not going to brake check you, but I'm just going to let off the gas.
Right.
So I let off the gas. He goes from my lane to the guy, to the far left lane.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is when he gets to that lane, he starts doing the same thing to an SUV. SUV does the same thing.
Mm.
So at this point, it's like as if he's boxed in.
Right.
So he hits his brakes, comes all the way around. I know we're kind of running out of time on the open here. His brakes. He comes all the way around from the far left lane back to my lane, all the way around to the far right lane in front of me.
Oh, God.
But when he switches lanes from behind me to the right lane, he does one of those almost side swiping things. Like he basically tried to hit me.
Oh, yeah. Closest possible lane change of all time.
He tried to hit me. Once he finally, I moved a little bit. Once he got in front of me, what this bastard did was he brake checked me. And it wasn't just a brake check. Like he slammed almost a full stop. So I hit my brakes, look behind, look to the left to make sure I can have space to go to the left.
Bro.
Did that. Then after he did this, he went ahead and did it to the SUV.
He's on a rampage.
He was on a rampage. It was an awful experience, man.
Yo,
awful experience.
What I want to say is real quick also, this is back in my more angry days. I'll try to keep this 30 seconds. But anyway, I used to work in Columbia, right off of, if you're local to the area, then you know the Little Patuxent and the
Little
Broken Land and the Broken Land, right?
Yeah.
Over there. So basically you come off the exit ramp and there's another lane to the right that you have to merge onto in order to turn right onto Broken Land.
Yeah.
And the problem is there's also people coming off of Route 32. So you have to wait for people to come off of 32 and merge onto the main road so you can get onto the same exit to turn right, because the 32 exit to come onto our road is also, it transitions into a right turn.
Right.
So basically you have cars just waiting to get in, waiting to get out.
Yeah.
So one guy was doing neither. But in the middle lane going 30 and then 42 and then 37 and then 22. And I'm just trying to get around him. So when I finally get past him, you know, I had my indicator on for a while trying to get over. I literally rolled my window down and I put my whole body out the window and I scream out, you know, you know, and you could blurp that out.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do. I don't think I've ever been that angry behind the wheel before.
Yeah.
And the woman in the passenger seat was probably her her, his wife looked terrified.
Oh yeah.
Like she thought I was probably going to open the door and leave my car in first and just jump out the car and land on her hood and start beating the glass or something like that. And I just like, I legit turned my whole body around. Like I could have rear ended somebody cause I had my whole body turned and like looked at him in the eyes and screamed at him.
Made that eye contact. You made sure.
Lord have mercy.
Look, I've gotten better with my road rage.
Yeah, me too. I'm not like that anymore, guys.
Because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Because at the end of the day, you're not going to see that person ever again. But I do hate two things. I hate a rat. Okay, look. There's a, to me, and I think the law should be changed. Because to me, there's a difference between speeding and erratic driving.
Of course, yeah.
I can be speeding at, if it's 70, I can go 85, 90 at a comfortable cruise.
Especially if you're keeping up with traffic. And you're right. Not the only, you know what I mean?
But there's a difference between somebody else that's going 80, 90 in a 70 or 65, and they're cutting everybody off, and they're going crazy.
No signals.
No signals.
That
can
make people nervous.
That's awful. Yeah, this guy had no signals yesterday either, so it was a whole thing, man. It was a whole thing. But we all digress, and we will move on to our top five news for the week. Fresh off of Geneva Auto Show, Motor Show 2018. I always call it the wrong thing. Automoto, same difference.
Essentially, I was going to say it's the same thing.
Yeah. Why not? We have some really interesting news because number five this week is the Ford Uncovered event that was last Thursday. It was originally mentioned that they were going to release and debut the new Ford Bronco that we've all been waiting for. Mm. However, when it came to that point to pull off the veil, so to speak, off the new Ford Bronco that they had there, when they did that, another veil was underneath it.
Why do you think they did that?
I think they're trying to build more anticipation. I think Ford wants to. I think Ford is doing the Bronco. I think they will have the Bronco, but I think they might be trying to engage more of the just feels for of the fans. Because if you think about it, they have so many trucks and SUVs and crossovers. This could be one of those. It could be a niche vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is going to be a niche vehicle.
Yeah.
There's a place. That's my thought.
There's a place for it in the market, though, because it's going to be. I guess we've all probably seen the spy shots of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It basically looks like a newer version of the older version of the older version.
It looks like what they did to. From all the renderings that I've seen in the spy shots, it looks like they just basically did a retro grade version of what they did with the Mustang, but only an SUV version, I love.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that's going to also look like how the Land Rover Discovery is going to end up looking slightly, because they kind of like with the G and a wagon and stuff like that, they tend to retain those aesthetics because it's like we're going to change our entire lineup, but this is a truck we just can't change because this is how it's always been. You know, same thing with the Wrangler and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I totally agree.
They're just going to keep that alone. But yeah, LOL Ford.
I can't believe they pulled a fast one on us.
So I should have thrown a tomato or something like that. Or like thrown a Molotov cocktail.
Oh my gosh.
And like burn the cover off.
That
escalated
quickly.
Oh, now we can see it, you know. I know, I've got pent up rage today.
I do too, still stemming from yesterday's driving situation.
Lord.
But yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm really excited for it. I really hope it happens. But with that news also comes that Ford is planning a Mustang SUV, a four-door Mustang SUV, titled Project Mach 1.
Hmm.
What are your thoughts on this thing, Mr. Urus?
Well, I think people are going to buy it, first of all, because people don't have any sense anymore. I think that there's going to be, first of all, I guess the Mach 1, it's interesting that they'd use that for it because that is during the eras of the 60s and 70s. That's kind of a suffix that they applied to a lot of their fastback Mustangs.
Yeah.
So they had the Mach 1, the Mach 2, you know, the Mach 3, things like that. So they haven't used that since then.
I don't think
actually.
So, no.
So for them to bring it back under the SUV / crossover / SAV guys is kind of interesting to me. But it's applicable because I feel like the people that will buy this have no idea that Mach 1 used to be used on those cars back in the day. Because if you're buying an SUV, if you're buying a Mustang SUV, you're not a Mustang fan.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like you're
general public.
You're an Urus buyer on a severely constrained budget.
I'm actually really interested in seeing how this looks, only because you just raised a great point. Mm-hmm. The Mach 1 had a fastback. again, with Ford's range of trucks and sports utility vehicles, this could be a really interesting way to go, kind of really go on that sport utility vehicle. I have emphasis on the sport.
Yeah. You know, they might put the, they could put the 5 liter V8 in it. I mean, that'd be something different.
It would be
a lot of SUV or SAVs, whatever, you know, they tend to be more economical other than your like X6 M's or your, you know, your AMG GLE coupes and stuff like that. But
the granddaddies.
Right. Yeah. And I guess that also allows them to kind of branch into that performance area without necessarily being too much. Cause you know, they stopped building the Focus as of April this year. The RS is gone.
It is.
So
does that mean the Focus also is gone too, or just the RS?
No, just the RS. Just the Focus is like one of their best selling vehicles, but the RS, I don't know what the point was of it. They only built it for 2 years. I thought Ford Performance was going to start, you know, trying to expand upon their portfolio to have more offerings for people. I mean, it sold like crazy, even though they marked it up. I genuinely don't know what the decision, what the motive was for that decision. But the news that you put down about them starting to put more, like a huge lump sum of money into development for other areas, that's probably part of it. I mean, this kind of harks back to what we always talk about, where the enthusiast is being discarded just because they don't have enough of a footprint.
They don't.
You know, and it's just sad.
And to be more specific, again, Ford is going to be moving $7 billion from car development and moving it towards SUV and trucks. And their goal is by 2020 to have a wider range of SUVs and trucks on the market, more so with hybrid and full EV variants. You know, we can't go a week without talking about EVs and hybrids. It's kind of crazy.
It's forced upon us now. You know what I mean? Like, there's not really, I feel, because people see it as an inevitability, they know that people are going to be talking about it, and it's just better to give people something to talk about.
Right.
So I can agree with it. I mean, we don't really have a choice anymore.
I agree. We really don't. I think the last thing that came out of there that was of note, again, I think I may have mentioned already. If not, the Explorer is getting an ST version, which, it could be cool. It could be cool. We've announced that the Edge got an ST version when we did the Detroit Auto Show. So now Explorer will be getting one. They also teased the GT500, but nothing else was said. Basically, this whole event was nothing but a big tease. Right. You know what I mean? That's all it was.
The largest case of blue balls of all time.
Right. Show. Everyone walking out there with, never mind. In other news.
Wear this towel, please.
The classic pillow over the crotch move, right? Everyone's like, what the hell are these guys talking about? In other news, the Volkswagen Arteon is supposedly going to have a sport brake variant. However, it is very unlikely that the U.S. market sees this version of the car.
I just saw that you said 3 liter turbo VR6.
Yes.
I thought that motor was extinct.
They have it somewhere waiting to put it in something, I guess.
The funny thing is they didn't need to get rid of it. You know, it wasn't a bad motor. And I know why I figured, because it goes back to emissions and stuff like that. But that's a great motor. I mean, they could turbo it and still, I mean, I think up until even 4 or 5 years ago, they offered it in some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so I think maybe I don't know if the CC had a version of it or the Passat. I don't know. But
I don't think the Passat did. CC possibly. Mm-hmm. But the Arteon is a CC successor. It has a grand coupe look.
Looks great.
It looks great. I love it. I love the integration of the headlights into the grille, the way it shapes. I love the horizontal billet style that it's sporting. I think it's a great looking car. I did look at some reviews. A couple people said that it was a little sluggish, and it truly felt like it was nothing more than a better option physically than the Passat. That's all it was. There was not much of a difference. So that's why this sport brake estate would be truly, truly acceptable if they did this.
Lots of sport brakes are out now. People are really, it's funny because sports brake really was, excuse me, more of a European concept than anything else. You know what I mean? Or like a shooting brake.
Yeah, the shooting brake.
But it'd be good if we got these, because since people seem to really lean toward cars like the A7, the CLS, the Grand Coupes, the Gran Turismo, BMWs, things like that, they should do this because it's a good compromise. If people really hate wagons here that much, because they seem to, they really, it's like, oh, get this out of here. They don't have a cure for this yet. You know, these are, I think it's a great option. I think it looks great. It'll be expensive though. It's going to be a lot.
It is. And I think it is a great option, especially when you think about just manufacturers wanting to have more versatility and diversity rather across the board. I mean, mm-hmm. again, you have Ford coming out with 12 new trucks.
like they needed 12 more.
Like we need to. I mean, I get why they're doing it. Not to go back to the fifth, number five news, but I understand why they're doing it. That's where their bread and butter is coming from. Mm-hmm. I get that. I understand that. But when you talk about variety, give me some more in the car department. But we're in the minority, unfortunately, at this point. So it doesn't matter.
If they make cars, they'll just be for the people who've always bought them and who will buy them with literally a steering wheel and two pedals and a seat.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you sell it for 12 grand and they'll sell out.
Well, it's funny because I also read an article that the European market is becoming more acceptable of the SUV now. And they're selling better over there than ever before. So this is just going to be, that's not good. That is not good.
It's like, I don't mind SUVs at all. I just don't like the people who drive them.
Yeah. My issue isn't the people that drive them are awful. But my biggest issue is that the more we start to accept SUVs and crossovers, the less variation of cars and sedans and coupes that we get, and that sucks for us.
It does.
But again, we are the minority.
We are.
In more than one way.
We'll figure it out.
Racial jokes. as we keep talking about the mundaneness of the SUV and crossover, here's a crossover that I like, and I think you agree with this as well, the Toyota CHR.
I really love that.
Yeah.
Very what about mixed, it? Mixed emotions, though. I mean, remember, this is another funny joke that I'll allude to on the, I think it was the second season the first season of the Grand Tour. Do you remember the awards that they gave out?
Oh, yeah.
They had like an awards and they were like, oh, the award for the ugliest rear.
Yeah.
It's like between the Toyota CHR, the Honda Civic Type R, and the winner is the Land Rover Discovery, which I loved.
Yeah.
You know, like I loved all the cars that they hated. But I think that's it. Again, minority. Representation of distribution and I guess acceptance of the styling. That has to be it, because nobody is going to look at that, and I can attest to this because I've flicked off plenty of them on the road. Nobody's going to buy that over a RAV4. 99% in the RAV4 is the car that I'm flicking off, not the CHR, because I usually give them a thumbs up.
And the RAV4 is a top seller. It's actually, I think it's sold better in 2017 than the Camry.
Should have sold better in 2017 than healthcare, judging by how much of them that are on the road. Like, I kind of want some of them to just break down.
Oh, man.
Like, I want them to issue a massive recall, because if they do that and they have to recall the roads would be empty. 495 would be
drivable.
Would be heaven. Exactly. You'd be able to see the lines in the road.
I got
to
say something, though. I actually like the RAV4.
I mean, I do too. Like I said, I just don't like the people.
It's the drivers.
Yeah. No, I would have RAV4s they're honestly the best value for money in that segment.
Yeah.
Better than CRV. There's nothing else in that segment that is better than that.
And that's probably why the CHR is on this list as our number three news story, because it's not selling. Mm-hmm. The plans are to sell 5,000 a month, but of course in February, which was their best month, they only sold 4,420 models.
Mm-hmm.
They are ranked seventh with the Mitsubishi Outlander Sport ahead of them, which is surprising to me because I didn't even know Mitsubishi still made cars.
I haven't even seen the Outlander.
So while the CHR has only sold 4,420 models in the month of February, Lamborghini has sold 10,000 Huracans since its inception. Pretty impressive, Lambo. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind being one of those people because I think we've talked, well, not like that, but just like, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I'd rather have an Aventador or something like that. Like how people always want the bigger better model. Yeah. Lamborghini has proven that that's not always the case because the Huracan is just a more desirable automobile all around. Mm-hmm. Just like what we spoke about with McLaren and the 570 just being a better that eclipsed, what, a 650 or a 675 as a driver's car of the year. Probably not the same generation, but it's just proof that the smaller version that's more obtainable, you don't need all the power. Oh, Huracan only makes 662 or whatever it is, 650. All right, well, you wouldn't even have really needed 400. You know what I mean?
Right, so, right.
I mean, the Gallardo, when that went out of production and the Huracan came along, I was immediately much happier because I always thought the Gallardo was hideous. I never liked it. The facelifted Gallardo with the modified rear that unsurprisingly is what the Huracan rear looks like somewhat,
right,
was much better. And that car is definitely, like, as you've said, it's become the breadwinner of the family and it deserves that place. I think that's also why they gave the highest, I guess, track performing version to that and not an Aventador, with the Performante.
Yeah.
Being on a Huracan trim. So I think that's been a great, I think that's been a great deal for them. And I think they deserve it. They need a car that can kind of, solidify them financially and keep people happy. And it more than delivers for the money that you pay for it, in my opinion.
I think so. I really like the car. I've driven it recently in Forza Horizon.
Oh yeah. The most accurate depiction.
Right. No, I souped the hell out of it. Actually, no, I didn't. I didn't do anything to it. But no, I really do like the Huracan and I agree with you. And I think in a way we kind of are, but still not contradicting ourselves when we talk about like, oh, the Aventador does this and does that. Like, but again, how much more do you need? And the reason why I bring up contradicting is because like, we kind of had the same conversation with the California and the Portofino, not to keep bringing that damn thing up, but we've had the same conversation and we corrected ourselves in sense of saying, yeah, oh, it's not a real Ferrari. It only makes 600 horses, but damn, that's a lot. That's personally, that's 300 more than I need.
I mean, I'd buy a Portofino and then put my mini tint on it. Nobody ever see me in it. I mean, I'll enjoy it. I'm not ashamed to say that I like it. I will say that I did not like the California for a lot of different reasons, one of them being the styling, but things change over time and things become more appealing. You don't have to hate something just because it is the child of something else.
I agree.
It's kind of like, I guess cheats on somebody and has a baby. Oh, I hate the baby because the baby is a result. You know what I mean? Like,
hate the baby.
I mean, that's obviously an extreme situation, but things change. You don't have to be such a fanboy.
Agreed. And I love the Huracan. I think it's a great Lamborghini and it's one that's kind of got me back into really loving them. Mm-hmm. Murcielago and the Gallardo were great, but they were also kind of dated by looking at them. Mm-hmm. Even then they look dated to me.
They last a long time too. The model life of these cars, they have to permeate time. Like the Bentley Continental.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez.
After 10 years, they finally changed it and they only made one of the exterior headlights smaller.
That's it.
The rear is like, we're going to make the lights less square. Bam. Still $175,000. You're still going to buy it.
You think the Huracan's going to last as long as the Gallardo did, because that one did about 10 years. We're in the fourth year of the Huracan. You can go the full distance.
Yes, it is. I think Lamborghini knows, just like Bentley and like Porsche, that you do not need to change the recipe if people are still coming to your restaurant, right?
Well said.
Even if it's going to be for the better, just leave it alone, bruh.
Yeah.
Like you don't have those types of dollars at your disposal to just waste on R&D for it to go wrong.
Right.
So leave it alone.
Agreed. Totally agree. It was nice talking about one car on our list of news that isn't a truck or SUV because our number one story of the week is the Mercedes X-Class. And of course, if you don't know what the Mercedes X-Class is, this is the Mercedes mid-size pickup truck that is in development, not in just development. I think it's looks practically like released.
It looks like an extended cab, right? It's four. I've seen some, the ones that I saw had four doors.
And the main gist of this story is that while the X-Class isn't offered in the U.S. market quite yet, and I honestly think they're going to have a tough time breaking in, we have it's like, I don't know. We have so many trucks to choose from. And there's already people complaining about spending 75, 80 grand on an F-150 when you're using it primarily for hauling stuff. Why would you go pay even more money for a mid-sized truck just because it's a Mercedes? But the whole point of this whole story is Mercedes has been spotted with a extended cargo bed, which is leading journalists to think that it might be coming to America.
That's true. My only issue is it going to sell here?
I don't think so.
Because as you just mentioned, these F-150s, these Silverados, these, you know, even Tacomas and stuff like that, they're pretty big and they're pretty expensive already.
Already.
I mean, they're very well equipped, very capable. I just don't really know. I kind of feel like you're a pickup truck person or you're a luxury car person. If you are a pickup truck person, you might be a luxury car person too, but you're not going to go to Mercedes for your pickup.
No.
You're going to go to somebody who's been making them for 40 years.
Yep. You're going to go to the number one best-selling truck in North America.
Yeah.
Right? Or in the world, period.
In the world. What they say, they sell one every 3 seconds or something like that. And the Silverado's a tortoise at every 8 seconds or something. You know, but it's just, I don't know. I think it'll sell, but I think it'll sell for the same reason the G-Wagon sells. Mm. I think it's going to become more, it'll be very capable, but it's going to become more of an item for statement rather than usability, because that is going to be a six-figure truck. It just is. I think it might be special order only, though. I don't think they're just going to have them on the showroom floor. But we'll see. I guess, I don't know. I think it looks great. I mean, I really like it. If I was a pickup truck person, I'd still buy a Raptor.
Absolutely. I think it looks good too. I think I would much rather have them build it off of the G-Wagon platform.
Yeah.
I say platform, but really just give it the freaking looks of the G-Wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a bed, maybe bulk it up a little bit.
I guess before we move on, I was just going to say that the 6x6 G-Wagon had a bed.
It did.
So that goes to show that they could do that.
They could have.
Because the 4x4, they just have to do an extended cab version or, you know, extended bed because the rear overhang is very short.
Mm-hmm.
For that, two extra wheels would make it a bit longer, obviously. But they could most certainly do that. Yeah. I think that would sell.
Because the G-Wagon looks rugged. When I see the Mercedes, it's like, do you know when Ford did the Lincoln F-150 variants?
Mm-hmm. I prefer those to the Ford ones.
They look nicer. That's definitely more of a luxury pickup truck.
Yeah, that's why I like
it. But the thing is, they didn't sell well because they were more than the F-150s. They look the platform. Same. They look the same. They were just different badges. And here's the thing. You can have a Ford F-150 with all the fixings. Everything.
Heated everything. Cooled
leather.
Stuff.
The whole nine. You know, iPad in the roof. I'm just making a crap. It wouldn't surprise me.
With the Rolls Royce app, we can put stars. All you need is 30 iPads to cover the roof.
Man. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep you guys updated as this continues. But one thing that we wanted to talk about this week, this show is primarily based off of the best lineup out right now. What we're talking about is what manufacturers are out there right now, and of their offerings, how many of those cars are hits? So what manufacturer has the best overall lineup? We had a couple people write into us, and we will discuss that in just a bit. But for the most part, this was a fun project to research.
I couldn't stop typing.
There's a lot. There's a lot to look at for this one.
I know.
I'm going to let you go first.
Sure. I can do that. So I'm just looking at my notes now. I did write my list in a barbershop. There were a lot of people in front of me. As for the people who are close to me that know, my barbershop is mostly gentlemen of the older generation, and they like to talk. And I like to be productive no matter where I am. So I did take a bunch of notes here. The basis for mine, was basically a combination of everything. So I didn't want stuff that were just, for budget crunchers. I didn't want stuff for people who were successful drug dealers. I wanted a combination of everything. So for my number one, And this is, they are in the order in which I choose to go, but I did choose Mercedes-Benz for number one. I know I just said this isn't for drug dealers and such, but you have to remember that you can get decently equipped cars these days from luxury manufacturers that are decently priced. You don't need to have every option in the book. You don't need to have the highest trim model. At this point, the people that are going to go for these, they're doing it to stroke ego, or they just want good build quality. And those are things that, I mean, although the former isn't necessarily a good thing, they are things that you get from it. So, basically there's something for everybody, from this company. A lot of Americans are into the SUVs. Of course, we just had a full blown rant slash bash session about them, and they've got plenty. So any form of utility or usability, it is there for you. As I did mention before, with regard to options, they do nickel and dime a bit. I mean, that's just a characteristic of European companies.
Yeah.
You're going to get what you pay for though. So if you have the extra money, just put it out there, and you can get it done. But I also want to say that they are one of the few companies left that do cater to us enthusiasts. They have not stopped offering V8s in their cars. Nope. They have not stopped offering performance vehicles for virtually every offering they have. You can either go into a dealership with your wife. If your wife isn't a car person, she can go in and get a GLC, you know, 500 or whatever it is. And you can go get a GLC 43. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Both the same vehicle, tuned completely differently to cater to a different type of a buyer. Vehicle sales also destroy Audi and BMW. I mean, Mercedes has been in the lead for quite some time now. And I do have some notable mentions here with regard to it. The E-Class, the GLE Coupe, and the AMG GT. The E-Class, which has basically led this, I guess, kind of midsize sedan segment for a while, has really, really done a great job with the restyling. I love weird stuff. So the GLE Coupe, I love that egg-looking nuclear warhead thing. And the AMG GT, which has been up for numerous Car of the Year Drivers Awards.
Yes.
Beautiful refinement. Interior looks like a Victorian 22nd century spaceship. Yeah. That's a car also on my short list, but Mercedes-Benz for me, for sure. I mean, you got to mention them.
You know? They got the GTC and the GTR as well, as far as those.
Oh yeah.
Supers. Super, and how can we ever forget the Project One that we just got to see crawl?
I was going to bring it up in the news, but I didn't want to talk for 40 minutes.
I think that's a good choice. Definitely of the more, upper echelon, upper crust of,
for sure,
you know, but I think it's a good choice. I do agree with you. I think I get overwhelmed when I go to their website. I think they almost have
so
too
much.
Many offerings.
It's too
personally
much. It's way.
And I know, like, you really got to know what you're looking for, or you got to know what kind of taste that you have. And I think for people like us, that's not a problem, because I think we know what we want. You're going to go to Mercedes.
Straight to the GT.
You're going to go to the GT. You're going to go to
whatever you
some of their nicer, wagon, you know, more capable sedans with some power. Because you can get, I think last time I looked there, I mean, they do have sedans that are in the 35s, 40s. Again, you don't have to have all the options. No, they right. have options for you.
Yeah.
I see you put a couple other things on here. Are these in this order that you're going? Is this your order right here?
Yeah, that's the order.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you have next?
Oh, okay, sure. Well, I actually put Audi second. speaking of Audi, they are behind Mercedes-Benz, but not by too much with regard to vehicle sales. But honestly, aesthetically, they've got everybody on the ropes. They just do. As far as European luxury brands go, also, something to be offered for everybody. The Audi Q7 in an SUV market in which we live is the leading top ranked SUV currently. I mean, the Q7 is just, it doesn't matter if you're looking on a scale of luxury, you're looking at a scale of practicality. It just has left everybody behind. Very technologically advanced. It does help that it is the newest chassis among its competitors. The Q7, I think, is only dropped as of what, 2 years ago. It's still brand new. They do, for performance, as far as enthusiasts go. Now, What I will say, I guess, about pricing for Audi is they are much better than Mercedes-Benz and BMW. You can get an Audi for a decent price, a good motor, efficient, maybe 2 liter turbo, 4-cylinder. You can probably add one package or two, and that's all you can add for most of these cars.
Yeah.
They're very good at lumping everything together. I don't know why BMW lost that art, but you can really get something for good prices. They also hold value very well. So you can basically go get a certified pre-owned version for a good amount of money. And it'll last you quite a bit of time.
Yeah.
Now, I do also place them there also because of their offerings as far as wagons go. Although we do not get a good chunk of them in the United States.
Not at all.
They are offered overseas as far as the Rennsport, which is their RS line, is concerned. Now, they basically offer just an extensive line of performance vehicles as anyone else, at the very least overseas. I can dream that maybe... Maybe I can import one if I, you know, sell enough drugs or something like that, and I can pass emissions and stuff. But notable mentions, I think that they are the best balanced luxury and practicality brand, only behind Mercedes-Benz. Noteworthy mentions that I have are the A4, the RS3/TTRS, the S5 liftback, and the Q7. A4 is new segment leader for compact sedans. They just are ahead of the C-Class, ahead of the 3 Series. People have been blown away by this. Got the same advantage as the Q7 by being the newest chassis on the market. New C-Class is coming pretty soon. New 3 Series is also going to be here pretty soon. But people love that vehicle as far as the driver's car is concerned. RS3 TTRS, 5-cylinder turbo, trans mount. Not even going to mention anything else about that because I'll be here all day. The S5 liftback, which I love. I would own it if they had a wagon in Avant version. It's just not enough practicality for me. Yeah. The lift back roof is too much. And the Q7 that I just mentioned, also a new chassis, but very much so in the lead as far as a balance of everything for SUV folks. Yeah, so Audi in number two.
I went somewhere different. So I'm going to... I re-looked at this list a little bit differently. I split up into two lists, sides. I split it up into my... into like the luxury, and then I split it into the practical. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm introducing myself is because I think this is a good place where I can segue into my two luxury brands here.
Yes. When I read them, I was like, I should have added one of these.
And the reason why these aren't my top choices, as well as why I wouldn't choose the Audi, and maybe even Mercedes is my top choice, I think we'll differ here, because for the most part, Mercedes, maybe not so much Mercedes, but Audi for sure. And the two that I'm about to mention, Alfa Romeo and Jaguar, those three, they offer pretty much two things and two things only. Sedans and
SUVs.
And SUVs. Now, this is great for the rest of the world.
Sure.
But in America, that definitely doesn't cover for us. Mm-hmm. I give it to Mercedes because... boy, oh boy, do they offer a plethora of sedans and SUVs some trucks.
Slow down, please. Please, slow down.
Like, I can't get past the G list. I'm not going to get back into that. It's overwhelming, gosh.
Right, right.
But for the Alfa Romeo, the reason why I chose them was because, truthfully, they are really interesting because they are a sports... they make great sports cars, but they also make great luxury cars.
Because even their regular cars are sports cars.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. But even more interesting is their offerings. Mm. It's straightforward, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have the Stelvio.
Yeah.
The Giulia.
Uh-huh.
And the 4C.
And the 4C.
That's it.
You could literally buy each of those and just have all your bases covered.
All of your bases covers. Mm-hmm. Covered right then and there. And what I like about them is they are affordable.
Yeah.
You can get a Giulia, not talking about the quadrifoglio and all that stuff. You can get just a Giulia straight down for about 55 ish.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. Maybe even a little lower. I was going to
say, I thought they were like maybe 43
ish, right?
Like that. Yeah.
Very affordable. And while all of us would love a quadrifoglio because we are menaces and very,
we like hurting people's feelings,
right? The Giulia is still a great car to have.
Awesome. Awesome.
Great car to have. It was 2018 Motor Trend Car of the Year.
Both of them.
Both of them. And then, of course, with the Stelvio, they have the Nürburgring edition. So if you wanted to go ahead and...
fall over?
Yeah. And just roll your SUV, you could. You know what I mean? So I put Alfa Romeo there.
That's a good choice.
Jaguar, I felt the same way. To me, Jaguar almost is an exact maybe the reason why I chose Jaguars is the same reason why you chose Mercedes.
Sure. They have a great lineup.
They
too.
Do.
But it's not, it's not overwhelming.
It's not overwhelming.
Like mine.
It's straight, it's straightforward. But they just offer a little bit more than Alpha. For instance, in the sedans, you have the Jaguar XE, XF, XJ. Mm-hmm. You have the XF Sport Break, which I absolutely adore.
What a good looking car.
What a great car, man. You talk about the best of everything. It is. Bro. I think 70-ish, 80-ish 70, grand.
Yeah.
Still lower than the Mercedes variant, which was the AMG, help me out here, E46.
Oh, yeah, E63S.
That's the one.
Formatic Plus. It is kind of a different category.
It is a different category. It is. I think the Mercedes definitely offers more.
Because the standard E-Class wagon is a better competitor. Because even that's the true. Regular E-Wagon, it almost makes as much as this Sport Break. And the Sport Break is like a high-performance 380 horsepower V6.
Yeah.
I think the 3-liter V6 turbo in the standard E-Class makes like three.
That's 40. Not bad.
It's pretty high.
That's pretty bad. It's not bad. E-Pace, F-Pace for FUZ, FUV.
F-U-Z.
For the, I guess I must be thinking of the Ferrari FUV.
Yeah.
The E-Pace and the F-Pace for the SUVs. And of course, they have that I-Pace coming out, which is going to fill in that electric bracket.
I was going to actually mention that. I looked it up the other day when we talked about it. And, that's also going to be a lot of money. I didn't know it was going to be that expensive.
Its price is pretty high.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the F-Type, which I love.
Great, great car.
I do love it.
Great value.
So I'm gonna go there. That is going to be those are my luxury brand list. Those are my two top favorite ones, simply because of simplicity. I think when you talk about Alpha and you look at the one what they offer, each of them do hit really well. Now I didn't go into the numbers and see how they sold against everything else. So obviously there's gonna be a little bit of a difference in that. Mm-hmm. Jaguar as well. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna talk about Volvo. I have them on my list, but you can lump them into the same reason why I put Jaguar up there. And then let's get into the practical list. Now I see you have two that I found very practical. Why did you put these two on here?
Okay, yeah, so my next two, I guess my list can kind of be divided also like Sean's, and because these two technically aren't third and fourth. I did place them third and fourth because my heart basically created this list, of course. but they are first and second in their own right, and they are Toyota/Lexus and Honda/Acura. Now, both of them, vehicle sales, reliability. For Toyota, I wrote vehicle sales reliability and the Corolla.
And the Corolla, of course.
The other banes of my demise. extremely, extremely affordable with high-grade engineering in these cars. Gone are the days where you went to a dealership and spent 14 grand and you just knew that 14 days later you were going to end up with a pile of scrap metal. You know what I mean? Like, you can, of course, cars have gotten more expensive over time, and that's to be expected with inflation and other economical principles that I won't elaborate upon. But man, these brands have come a long way. First of all, Toyota and Honda each have their own luxury counterpart, which are Lexus and Acura, respectively. These cars, they are built to, the great thing about the, I guess, standard brand, which is the Toyota and Honda, they're built to the same standard as their luxury counterpart. So you essentially don't need to go get the more expensive version of the same chassis anymore. You can get the regular one. And I mean, even the regular ones, if you look at a Camry and I guess an ES or whatever that chassis is,
yeah,
they're relatively similarly priced, especially if you look at fully loaded versions of the Toyotas and the Hondas.
Yeah.
The motorsport is a bit lacking in these brands. They might start to come back. What I will say is that Lexus does have the F brand, such as the RCF previously, the larger one. What was the larger one, bro? The 5 Series Lexus size?
LS 500? LC 500?
It was the same. It's a little bit smaller. Jeremy drove it on the Grand Tour. He drove a blue one.
The sedan,
like,
right?
A V8. Yeah. Either way, it wasn't the RCF, but it was one of those. Some letter with followed by an S and then an F. We just probably pick one out the sky. ZSF, that one.
That'll work.
But yeah, so some of the notable mentions that I wrote down were the V6 Camry, which is an astonishing vehicle, in my opinion. The CHR, which Apparently that's only on my notable mention since the rest of the world hates it. The LC500 and the RX. The RX, I also wish I saw less of these because they are literally 80% of the cars on the road. They're Lexus's version of the midsize SUV, or I guess compact now. I don't even know what the proper notations for them are because they're all the same size.
Right.
But all of those guys, for Honda and Acura, what I will say is they are pretty similar to Toyota and Lexus. They've moved slightly fewer units, but they are aesthetically more pleasing to me, and they do have the NSX. Toyota has yet to kind of go, unless they make a super version of the Supra. I don't know if they're ever going to return to this outside of like a Formula One or a prototype Le Mans or anything like that, but creating something for the road that has that similar presence and that performance capability, because the NSX is easily mentioned now in European supercar circles. You just have to, you have to have it there.
I agree with that.
You can't omit it anymore. The Type R as well offered something for us enthusiasts in the form of a hatchback for practicality and things like that.
Yeah.
Notable mentions that I have, are the Accord, obviously the Type R, the Pilot, the RDX, and the NSX. Half of those, which are practical vehicles, and the RDX is a great, great, great option. Mm-hmm. If you don't necessarily need the MDX, good, I guess, compact size, very nice styling. RDX used to be hideous. It used to look horrid. But it's come a long way, and I really hope that these guys can continue forth and start to use some of the extra capital that they have to maybe put toward some motorsport vehicles. You know what I mean?
I think my biggest issue, I'm going to be honest with you. I love Honda, and I'll get to them more in a little bit. Boy, do I hate Acura.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is. I love the NSX. I love the TL that they have. I don't know what it is about Acura that I just can't get behind. I really wish they just badged them as Hondas. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess the other thing is technically Acura doesn't truly exist anywhere else.
No.
You know what I mean? Because overseas we have our, well, not we have our, because we don't live there, but their NSX is a Honda badge on it, which is how it's always been.
Yeah.
I don't get that very much either, because you even have guys here with Acuras that take the red Honda badges and put them on their cars, you know, to be like that. But they represent what they represent within our society, because we do see just about as many as we see Honda here. You know what I mean?
And oh, yeah. My sister has a TL.
Yeah, you know.
She asked me, she was like, when you went to the auto show, did you guys see the new TLA type? And I'm like, who cares?
It's like, what, Acura was there? What's your Acura?
And was like,
you mean Honda?
I'm like, I saw an NSX. That's it. Like, right. And trust me, when I went through the Acura thing to get to the NSX, nothing caught my eye.
Right.
And maybe that's because we see so many of them on the road. But for me, like, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to get to it right now. The Honda Accord, the new Honda Accord, looks better than any of the cars in the Acura lineup.
I don't care
what anyone says. I will fight you over it. I'll cut you. I'll come for your knees. I think the Honda Accord is the best looking car that Honda has produced.
Especially with that sport trim that they offer now and the front black grill.
Oh, it's great.
I love that.
It's
great. I'm
glad
it's selling.
I am too. Actually, and I just did read a report. It's not selling as well as they want to, but that doesn't mean it's not selling, because I'm seeing more and more all the time. Of course, this is a very... We're in one area. I'm not seeing everything in the whole world, but my practical list is fairly similar. I actually do have Honda on my list. And when I really thought about it and I broke everything down, I wanted to just instantly say Honda. They have everything you could want. You want a car that's affordable. You have the Civic. You want a little bit more. You got the Civic Si. You want much more. You get the Type R. It's Type almost R, like you're going to Cold Stone and you're getting those three sizes.
Like, gotta have it. Gotta have it.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know?
I only know them because I'm fat.
So I love that.
Yeah.
If you need something even more affordable, the Honda Fit, I've driven one, not the most comfortable of a car for a guy my size, but hey, it was a fun, cool, nimble car.
It's cool. Yeah.
It's a cool car. CRVs. You got it. You want a van?
Another car they need to get. Never mind. Non-driver owned vehicles.
Another car. If you want a van, you got the Odyssey. Mm. You want a bigger SUV. You got the Pilot. I mean,
they still make the Ridgeline.
They do. They brought it back out. I will say, I do not like the new Ridgeline. I prefer the old styling that was kind of more on par with an Avalanche. Mm-hmm. It had that interesting slope to its bed. This one looks normal.
I was going to say, I think I've seen a new Ridgeline and it looks like something in a Toyota would build or something.
I think it's just hard for anyone to break into the truck market.
I'm going to Google it.
Stand by for a live reaction. I just think it's hard for anyone to break into that. Nissan tried to revitalize the Titan or Armada, whatever the crap it's called, and that didn't look good either. It's just a tough market. He's looking. He's thinking.
I don't like the back. Yeah. You're right. The back doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
It looks like an afterthought. It's like when they got to the end of the extended cab, it's like, yeah, this looks great. This looks great. Oh, we got a break for lunch. Quick, hurry up, finish.
That's exactly what it was.
And we're done.
They're like, well, the front looks good, but let's just see what Toyota's doing. And let's just,
they made a Pilot into a pickup truck, basically.
Right. That's pretty much what it was. So Honda was my choice. Honda was the company I was going to go with, but then I started thinking and I started doing some research, and there is one company that I would absolutely almost have every other of its versions than the Honda.
Oh,
and that would be Ford. And I'm surprised because I'm not an American car guy. I've had a Chrysler in my past. I loved it. Hey man, you can laugh. I had a dope Chrysler Concorde.
Ooh.
And it was fire. I had the V6 and I was wrecking Hondas in that thing. That's all I'll say. And it was a complete drug dealer car. I don't care. And my mom drives a 300 and that thing is a boat. It's a boat. But the Ford brand has really won me over, and we can go down the list. You want a Honda Fit? I can have a Fiesta. Would rather have a Fiesta, and I can have a Fiesta ST.
Mm-hmm.
Ford gets the check there.
Mm-hmm.
Honda Civic or Ford Focus? I got to be honest, I'll probably have the base Honda Civic over the Ford Focus.
Yeah, I don't like the regular Focus.
Neither do I. Hideous. Honda Civic SI or Ford Focus ST? How'd have the ST?
The tables have turned.
The tables have turned. But at the same time, Honda Civic Type R or Ford Focus RS? I'd have the RS.
Yeah.
I know the Civic might be a little bit faster.
I don't know anymore, to be honest. Maybe I would make that a separate conversation because, yeah.
That's arguable.
I don't want my head gasket to go bad.
But the RS simply looks better.
Yeah.
Honda Ridgeline or Ford F-150? Come on now. Come on.
I want a Ridgeline. Come on. People are crazy people.
Ford F-150, hands down. CR-V or the Ford Escape? I'll have the CRV. I got to be honest here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Honda Pilot or the Explorer? That's a toss up. But I gave it to the Explorer because the new Explorers are badass.
Yeah, I don't like the new Pilot.
I like the previous Pilot. A little bit more boxy.
I like the boxy.
Yeah, me too. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
Honda Odyssey or Ford Transit?
I'd have the Odyssey also.
I'd have the Odyssey also.
I'd actually rather have the Urus.
I'd have a
Transit. Honestly, the new Odysseys, when I see them from the front with that LED strip in each of their lights, all the lights are, they look like Accords that have been with four Accords on top of them to basically make them. I'm not a van guy. I'd give it 5% and then drive it if I had to drive it.
But right.
They look really good.
They do. The Odysseys look great.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the Transit vans, especially from a production. Those vans are great, man. I don't know why you're laughing. Have you been in one?
Yes.
Yeah.
As a rental, yeah.
They are fire. They are fire
They're
vans.
Extremely practical.
Compared to the old Ford Econoline series vans, these vans are fire. Right.
They're much more stylish. They don't look like a rapist van or something.
I saw a person driving it as a normal driving vehicle, not as a utility vehicle.
That man's sick in the head.
Nah, dog. That man's figured it out, man. He's figured it out. That's my man's right there. And then Honda Accord versus the Ford Taurus. I had to have the Honda Accord. Although the Taurus is another great car. Also, I think it's a good looking car. Now, here's what won for me. What goes against the Ford Mustang? Because the Honda doesn't have anything to compete.
Bring the S2000 back from 15 years ago.
Yes, and I'd still have the Mustang. Still have the,
really? No,
you know Sean, why? Because the Mustang is like this guilty pleasure of mine, where it's just this vulgar, slippy, slidey, ridiculous, all-American vehicle.
All right, okay.
You know,
I'll take the Mustang, but it has to be GT350 Shelby.
I'll take the Mustang.
Anyway. I mean, it's the same thing. I have a Mustang, but it has to be that one.
It has to be that one.
It has to be that one.
I just love that thing, man. I'll take it all day, every day.
Sounds good too.
And I think the only, so right now Ford has the edge 5-4. If we put in the GT, the Ford GT versus the NSX, I probably will take the NSX, but something about the Ford GT and its heritage.
No,
I don't know.
And the aura, it's got a lot more swag.
It does. You know, it does. But Ford wins. I'd have Ford over Honda, and I really do like the Honda lineup.
Those were, I guess now that we mentioned that, weren't those Peter's submissions as well?
Yes. So Peter is a Honda transmission engineer.
Tranny engineer.
He said it, not me. I'm trying to get those tickets.
Stu, I've been looking at, I've been meaning to say that for a long time. Sorry, bro. When I saw the thing, I was like, he's a tranny engineer.
Oh my God, that's too easy. Too easy. So we went to school with Peter. He was actually one of the guys that I think you listened to the hate mail episode. He was the one that I said he was sending me hate mail.
That dude is like our smartest listener. He's like on another level. It's like, I'm going to hate you guys. You're going to take it.
That guy is great. We went to high school with him. He's a Honda engineer now. And he is definitely one of our most brightest listeners.
Yeah.
And he offers great feedback, which I love. And he actually said pretty much the same. He would have the Ford over the Honda. Could we talked about it? And I have to agree with him. And I think for the most part, for a lot of the same reasons I've mentioned, probably a little bit more. I don't have the email open with me at the moment.
Actually, I did. I went looking for it.
Oh, perfect.
So I was just going to like go through some of the stuff that he submitted. And he did say, he did mention Ford first. He was like, he did provide offerings for each segment. So compact, Focus RS, sports car. See, this is a man after my own heart. You see, Mustang GT350R.
So yep.
He knows. Light duty truck, Ford Ranger diesel. Very good. Full size truck, F-150 Raptor, of course. Commercial van, Ford Transit, heavy duty truck.
Told you. Told you.
F-350 dually King Ranch. Woo! Good Lord.
Yeah, he went hard on that one.
You
want to
pull down my apartment building?
He went hard on that
Supercar, Ford GT. Yep. SUV, Expedition, Subcontact, Fiesta ST. Have you seen the rally videos? And he also mentioned, and I had realized this after I'd done more research after I'd gotten home, but the Concept DV is actually a styling cue.
The Honda Concept DV.
A while
DV.
Ago. Yeah. Yeah. The Concept DV from the CVCC.
Which still stands for Civic to me.
Right. AKA, see, we stole the Mark One again. But yeah, that Honda actually came after that. He's like, I started thinking about the Honda line, but I thought that was funny because he's like, oh, no bias here. You know, I'm just not going to pick my company
right.
for that. But NSX Type R, Accord Sport, CBR 1000RR, which is a wonderful bike.
Yeah.
Honda Jet, Africa Twin. Not as much variety, but he did mention different means of transportation. Sea,
and
air.
That's where they win in that regard. But we're talking about motor vehicles.
Right. Good tidbit, though.
Great tidbit. Well, guys, that is going to wrap up another episode of Through the Apex for us. I am Sean Rosa.
I'm Mark Anthony Murray.
You can find me at makeshiftfilms.net. All my socials are there. Otherwise, at @through_the_apex is another place where you can find us.
You can find all of my social media handles at machinegain-labs.com. A podcast section of the page actually has all of these episodes as well as our most recent upload as of this week. We've gotten, or I guess last week if you're listening,
yeah.
We've gotten our highlight reel, 2018 Washington DC Auto Show highlight reel, filmed by Sean, who did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Basically a couple minutes long, showcasing everything we've done. We will be staggering some releases in the future of interviews that we've conducted. So be sure to stay tuned for that, all of which will be updated on a regular basis there. My personal handle on IG is MarkAnthony_Murray. You can also get in touch with us at AskApexPod at gmail.com as far as questions, concerns, comments, hate mail, which we will delete immediately. But yeah, make sure to stay in touch with us. We really, really enjoy it. I think it's really cool to be able to interact with folks on a common ground, and for the shared love of the automobile, it's fantastic. So, you know, keep it coming.
Yeah, we're all one community, and we all love what we love. So get in touch with us. Let us know what you think, especially on this episode. If you have a favorite brand that you think has a better lineup, let us know so we can go ahead and have that discussion with you online or on the next episode. With that said, we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks so much for listening. Take care.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Through the Apex.
New episodes available every Tuesday.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter
at @through_apex. We'll be right back.